the healing power of God's word. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 107. God's word, God's heart for us, and what he wants for us is always to be healed. He's always wanted us to be healed. He will continue to always want us to be healed. And in Psalm 107, and in verse 20, it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word. He sent his word. We have the spoken word, we have the written word, and we have the living word. This verse is prophetic of the coming of Jesus Christ. So he sent his word and he healed them, and that's the Greek word rapha, and it means to heal, cure, make whole. And he delivered them from their destructions. And the word destructions means a pit. That's what it means. We were in a pit. So he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And our biggest need was to be made whole. I mean, when God created Adam and Eve, they were body, soul, and spirit. They had it all. They were, you know, there was nothing wrong. But then they disobeyed God, they sinned, and the spirit left, so they died. They didn't have that spirit anymore. But before that, there was no sin. There was no sickness. So sickness is a result of sin, and sickness is death in part and in whole. But we need to be made whole. So our greatest deliverance that we actually needed was to be made whole. So when we confess Romans 10:9-10, and who can tell me that?
Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
And that word saved is to be made whole. We became whole. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. You know, it talks about in John 1:1. I'm just going to read it. You don't have to go there. I got it marked. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. And then in verse 14, it says, and the Word, that's Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ paid the price for us, and he always did the Father's will, you know, and because of his life and his walk and for his death and for being resurrected from the dead, we have life. And that life, when we get born again, it's that wholeness is a complete wholeness. It's spiritual, it's physical, it's mental, it's whatever it needs to be for each individual. So in 1 Peter 2:24, who can quote that? Raise your hand. Wesley?
Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed.
You missed.
That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness.
That we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Mm-hmm. So we have that complete remission of sin and forgiveness, because we still do sin, and by his stripes we were healed. So when you think about he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions, that's Old Testament, but that is prophetic of the coming of Christ and what he would do for us. But even in the Old Testament, God wanted us to be healed. I mean, when you think about the first Passover, what did God tell Moses? He sent him his word and said, will you tell them that they're to kill this lamb and they're to eat it whole and they're to put the blood on the doorpost, because the shadow of death was going to come through Egypt and it would protect them. So the firstborn in all of Egypt died that night. Did they listen? Yeah. And they were spared. And when they left Egypt, There was not one feeble person among them, and they left with great wealth. The Egyptians were just like, here, have it, take it, you know? And they went into the wilderness, and all that time God took care of them. Well, Jesus Christ was that Passover lamb. That's what he did for his people then. That's what he's still doing for us as children today. So we're going to look at two words, one in the Old Testament called quicken, and then we're going to look in the New Testament at the word health. So take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. So in this psalm, the word quicken is used 11 times. We're not going to read all of them, but 9 times where it's used is it's in the imperative mood. And the imperative mood means a command. So for instance, if you're talking to your kids and you're going someplace, you say, put your shoes on. Okay? That's what that imperative mood is. The you is implied, you put your shoes on, but you don't say that. You say, put your shoes on. Because as I was reading this, it struck me that it was, you know, like the way it's read. But if you have that thought in your head that it's you, it's a command, there it's referring to God, you know. But God had him write this. So anyway, the word quicken in Strong's means keep or make alive, nourish up, preserve, recover, repair, revive, restore, save, and be whole. And in the Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament, this is the explanation they have on this word quicken. In the Old Testament King James Version, quicken, revive, and live are usually translated from the Hebrew word kaya. This Hebrew word is often used in the sense of God giving or restoring life, often synonymous with cure disease, often refers to deliverance from danger and from a wretched existence in the power of death into a rich and full life. It's amazing, right? Kind of gives you an idea, but God sent his word and healed them. That was his heart toward us. But in Psalm 119, the first verses, we're going to look at the imperative. There are two verses where the word quicken is used, and it's a statement of fact, and we'll get to those. But we're going to start in verse 25 of Psalm 119. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And then in Psalm 154, Psalm 119, 154. We're going to be in the psalm. Sorry, it says, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. So, you know, that word, quicken, alive, restore, quicken me according to thy word. And now look at verse 37 in Psalm 119. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. So we've got quickening in the word, quickening in his way. And what is God's way? His word is his way. And we're going to see a little bit more about that later on, about God's way. So quicken me in thy way. Verse 40 says, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. You know, how righteous is God? I can't even wrap my mind about it. If somebody has something they can add to it, you can come and tell me afterwards, because I don't even know what to say about it. That God is righteous. He made us righteous, but God is righteous. So quicken me in thy righteousness. I wanted to read the ESV version of this verse. I thought it was really great. It says, behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Quite a prayer. verse 88. I'm just going to turn the page. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Keep thou my love, keep quicken me after thy loving kindness. And in verse 159, it says, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. God is loving kindness, and he loves us so much. He just wants to do everything for us. He wants to bless us all the time. He wants to bless us more than we ask to be blessed. And so he would continue to just to shower us with blessings in every category of our lives. And then the last two verses we're going to read, one is in, the first one's in 93, and these are the two that where this word is used as a statement of fact. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. And then in verse 50. Yes, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. So it kind of gives you an idea of God's heart in healing us and restoring us and making us alive. You know, it's his loving kindness, it's his word, it's his way, it's his righteousness. So now we're going to look at 3 John chapter 2. We're going to go to the New Testament. Third John 2. And we're going to look at this word health. In verse 2 it says, beloved, I wish or I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So this word, we're going to look at the word prosper first. Because people usually think, they hear that word prosper and they think finances, but it's not really what that word means. It's a Greek word that I can't pronounce. It's like uodou, something like that. But anyway, it's comprised of two Greek words. One is eu, and it means well. And the other word is hodos, which means journey or a particular road. So this word prosper actually means to be led in a good way, to have a prosperous journey. We have that word way again. To be led in a good way, to have a prosperous journey, to be successful. So Walter Cummings in the Working Translation has notes on these two words, because basically it's the same word, and I wanted to read it to you. It occurs only in the passive voice, the word prosper, prosperous, in the New Testament, and meaning to be led in a good way or on a good path, to have a prosperous journey, to be well guided, to be successful. Here it occurs twice. The second occurrence describes Gaius' soul life as being successful. That is, he was personally successful. The first occurrence is in a prayer for his success concerning all matters, even as he was successful personally. In the context of the epistle, it suggests that the prayer is for his success in all matters, including those situations he had to deal with, as discussed later in the epistle. Success in all matters would include material needs, health, peace of mind, joy in the fellowship, and other matters. I thought that was a very great explanation of that word prosper and what it means, you know, from God's perspective. So we're going to read the verse again. Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And that word health is the Greek word hygieno, and it literally means to be sound, healthy, to be uncorrupted in doctrine, be in health, be safe and sound, be whole. So it encompasses a lot of things. But it's not just physical health. It's health, to be sound, healthy, to be uncorrupted in doctrine, to be safe and sound, and to be whole. And we're going to look at a few of the uses of this word, and we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And that word prosperous, about being led in a good way, it talks about in John 4:6 that Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that word way is that word hodos, which is a journey on a particular road. So did Jesus Christ make a journey on a particular road? Absolutely. And he always did the Father's will. Always. And everything. And that's the way. It's an interesting thing on that word. I am the way, the truth, and life. Kind of gives you a bigger scope of what that means about a successful journey. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 9. It says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for warmongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind." Wesley went over this last week. "For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." That word sound is hugiano. Sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, healthy teaching, healthy what has been taught. Pretty cool. But the law was made for all those. But we have that sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words," that's our word hugiano, wholesome words, healthy words, "even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. If you don't heed those things, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, wherewith cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmising." But that those wholesome words, that those healthy words, that healthy doctrine, that healthy teaching, it's what brings us health. Turn to Titus, chapter 1. Verse 9, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, and that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the saint, the gainsayers." There's that word health again. Hugiano, sound doctrine, right teaching. Verse 13. "This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." There's our word again, sound, healthy, in the faith, the right way of believing. We're to be healthy in the right way of believing. Titus chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Here we go again, healthy teaching. "That the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound, healthy, in the right way of believing, and in the right manner of love, and in patience," and patience is endurance and steadfastness. God wants us to be sound in the right way of doctrine, the right way of believing, the right way of love, with endurance and patience. So, this word hugiano is actually used of actual physical healing too, and we're going to read the record. It's in Luke chapter 7. This is the record of the centurion. And in Luke chapter 7, And we're going to start in verse 2. A certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. So he asked the Jewish elders, because he knew them, you know, if he would go and ask Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy, the centurion was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. And he goes on, for I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So this man understood the power of authority and the power of the word. And you know, what humbleness on this guy. Like, I'm not worthy, but if you just say the word, I know it's going to happen, you know. In verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And that's that word, hugiano. The servant was healthy. They got back and he was healthy. But this centurion, it just blows my mind. He wasn't even an Israelite, but he understood and believed that that word was that powerful. All he had to do was say it. And that's God's heart for us. He sent his word and healed us and delivered us from our destructions. We were taken out of a pit. And we were in a pit. You know I was in a pit, but I can't really speak for anybody else, but that's what God's word says. So, anyway, I want to look at 2 Corinthians 1:10. Second Corinthians 1:10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You know, I said in the beginning, it's always been God's will for us to be delivered and always will be. And you think about when the return comes, we're getting a new body. And we're also getting a new mind. Mm-hmm. That's a complete package. Complete package. But yet, while we're still here, God still wants us to have that good, healthy doctrine, that good, healthy body, that good health, and it is whatever that you need. You know what you need, and God knows what you need. But we're going to close in Isaiah chapter 55. Starting in verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Remember that song, Do It My Way? You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Don't make it my way, make it God's way. Verse 8 again, for my thoughts are not thought, your thoughts neither are your ways, saith your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and bringeth forth fruit and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So, the last thing I want to say, and I have it written down here, and it's in all caps, it says, keep your head in the word. Just amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.